I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH in Boston. President Obama said today the Supreme Court's decision to roll back limits on corporate campaign spending will let wealthy special interests drown out the voices of everyday Americans. It's still not entirely clear how yesterday's ruling will change the political landscape here. The World's Katie Clark took a look at how other countries manage the flow of money into political campaigns.
Australia is roughly the same size as the United States, minus Alaska and Hawaii. And like the U.S., Australia is largely a two-party system. The main source of funding for political campaigns there is corporate and union donations. Bruce Hawker served as a Labour Party consultant in Australia's last election. He says Australians wrestle with whether they should limit private campaign funding as much as Americans seem to.
It's one of those issues which both political parties spend a lot of time talking about because there is concern about money going from companies or unions with strings attached. That is largely unfounded, but it is a concern which is expressed a lot by the media.
Hawker says private money's played a large role in Australian politics for some time, but it's really ballooned in the past decade.
It just becomes this race to get more and more money from donors. It becomes quite unedifying, and it can actually take up a lot of time by people who should be spending that time campaigning or developing policies.
That's been the reality here in the U.S. even before the Supreme Court struck down the limits on how much companies can spend on political campaigns. Hawker says what's worked for Australia so far has been strict disclosure laws, and he says there's moral pressure put on companies not to overdo their political donations. Then there's the example of Ukraine. Ukraine has no such transparency when it comes to political contributions. Some of the major players in Ukraine's political scene are said to be dominated by oligarchs and big business. Russia is also widely believed to be funneling money into various political parties there. Stephen Larrabee of the RAND Corporation says everybody in Ukraine knows about the funding.
But because it's done under the table, it's very hard to prove.
So far, efforts to increase transparency in Ukrainian political campaigns have fallen short, but that hasn't stopped voters and candidates from trying, even in this month's presidential race. Alexei Haran is a professor of comparative politics at the University of Kiev Mohyla Academy.
Actually, during these presidential campaigns, there were candidates who made their support very transparent and people can register by internet and give donations, so everything is disclosed, and I believe it's a very good practice.
Haran says those candidates didn't get very far, but he's hopeful they'll have a chance in the next parliamentary election. John Simpkins teaches at Charleston School of Law in South Carolina. He's worked on constitutional design issues in Africa, Asia, and South America. He says no one country has the perfect system for funding political campaigns.
But I see the court's decision as really departing from what the global trend has been, which is towards more public funding of election campaigns, greater policing of where funds come from, and an emphasis on decreased impact of corporate interests and large labor interests.
And Simpkins worries that the Supreme Court decision will make it even harder for elected officials to keep their corporate donors at bay. For The World, this is Katie Clark.